For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky. The governor vetoes mandatory minimums. Virginians in Congress split on coal. Harrisonburg police welcome kids to camp. And the Valley is fertile ground for environmental action. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, May 2, 2019. Governor Ralph Northam vetoed two bills yesterday that would have added new mandatory minimum sentences to Virginia's state code. NBC 29 reports that Northam believes that with more than 200 mandatory minimum sentences, Virginia has more than enough in the state code. The governor said, quote, "Mandatory minimums are focused on punishment, not rehabilitation. We need to focus on evidence-based approaches that ensure equitable treatment under the law." He went on to say that imposing mandatory minimum sentences diminishes the decisions that judges and juries make when determining sentences. WHSV reports that a man was hit and killed by a train in Stewart's Draft yesterday afternoon. According to Virginia State Police, two farmers were working on fencing at a farm crossed by a railroad track. When a train approached at 12:25 p.m., one farmer tried to warn 60-year-old Robert Lester of Orange County, who was on a narrow railroad bridge. Lester was unable to run to the end of the bridge to get off the tracks in time. He was struck and died at the scene. Police classified the train collision as an accident. Lester's family was notified early in the afternoon. The train is owned by Norfolk Southern, which also owns the section of tracks where the collision occurred. In a statement, a spokesman for Norfolk Southern said the train was en route to Waynesboro and added, quote, "It is extremely dangerous and also trespassing to walk on or within the right-of-way of railroad tracks. People should cross tracks only at designated crossings and use extreme caution." Yesterday, Congressman Ben Klein testified before the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee to advocate for funding for Interstate 81. WHSV reports that during testimony, Klein said that I-81 is in dire need of funding for repairs to ease congestion and improve safety. While a growing number of people use the interstate, Klein said the infrastructure of the highway doesn't keep up with the demand. He called for the entire Virginia portion of the interstate to be widened to three lanes and its interchanges improved to cope with traffic volume. He said federal funding is necessary, but states should allocate those resources. According to data provided by Klein, each year there are nearly 2,000 crashes on I-81, with over 25% involving heavy trucks. One of the first things Democrats did after taking control of the House of Representatives was to create a new select committee on the climate crisis. As Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, the committee has Virginia representatives on opposite sides of a debate over coal.
Virginia's coal industry has been on the decline for years. Since the recession hit a decade ago, the number of coal jobs in Virginia has been slashed in half. But Southwest Virginia Congressman Morgan Griffith says coal from his district is needed to make steel.
We're going to continue to mine that high-quality coal. We have to find ways to make sure that the American public understands that not every coal is equal to other coal. A lot of the coal around the world is dirtier than our coal.
Griffith made his case for the future of Virginia coal during a meeting of the House Select Committee on the Climate Crisis, which was examining ways to draw down carbon and build up the economy. On the other side of the aisle from Griffith is Congressman Donald McEachin of Richmond. He says resistance to wind energy has been a stumbling block for investing in sustainable energy.
I experienced that problem in Virginia with local governments. A particular area loses its coal industry, but when we try to put up a wind farm, they're concerned about their viewshed.
One potential solution Congress will consider in the upcoming infrastructure debate, pre-zoning. If a transmission line or a wind farm meets all the standards, it gets a permit in 90 days, even if there's resistance on the local zoning board. Michael Pope.
Flow Alkaline Spring Water will open a manufacturing plant in Verona. Governor Ralph Northam announced on Tuesday that the Ontario-based water provider will receive a $250,000 grant for the project, which will create 51 jobs. The Daily News Record reports that the $15.5 million plant will be Flow Alkaline's first in the United States. Flow Alkaline is a producer of spring water and uses eco-friendly packaging. Virginia beat out New Hampshire and Wisconsin for the manufacturing plant. It will be located in the former Sumitomo Drive Technologies building in Verona. Also from the Daily News Record, the Harrisonburg Police Department plans to host its inaugural summer camp in July in an effort to get more children involved with police in a positive way. Sergeant Charles Grubbs said the camp is part of a department-wide strategy led by Chief Eric English to create new programs for children. The free camp, referred to as PATCH, stands for Pride, Accountability, Teamwork, Courage, and Honor. Grubbs said those characteristics make up the police department's 5 core values of leadership, which he hopes to instill in the children. The day camp runs from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. from July 8th to the 12th. Children will learn a variety of police tasks, including traffic stops, investigations, and building searches. They will also participate in canine, drone, and robot demonstrations. In addition to building leadership skills, the camp gives children a chance to see what it looks like to be a police officer. Grubb said that that inside look might lead them to a career in law enforcement. Children must be aged 12 to 16, have at least a C average in school, and write an essay. First preference will be given to city residents, but non-residents will be considered. Grubb said that there are at least 20 spots. And finally today, a few months ago, the city of Charlottesville, the county of Albemarle, and the University of Virginia sent a joint press release asking for community input to help them draft their environmental plans under the umbrella concept called Climate Action Together. WMRA's Marguerite Galrini took the occasion to review a few of the ongoing long-term environmental initiatives in the Valley.
If you were at the Charlottesville Farmers Market on April 20th, you might have seen the tabling of the Climate Action Together folks. I met with Susan Elliott, the City of Charlottesville's Climate Protection Program Coordinator, giving me the elevator pitch for the project.
So Climate Action Together is a group effort on community engagement between the City of Charlottesville, Albemarle County, and the University of Virginia. All three organizations are undertaking efforts right now to set new climate reduction goals and also to look at what our plans are. And so with that, we started the Climate Action Together. So there is one central website for people to get information as to what we're doing. We can put all of our different dates for events there.
Each entity will have their own environmental action plans, but their community outreach is streamlined for more clarity and efficiency. On the Climate Action Together website, you'll be able to learn about each entity's timelines for their next projects and about their past and current projects, like the University of Virginia's greenhouse gas emission reduction goal.
We set our first greenhouse goal several years ago for a goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 25% below 2009 levels by 2025.
That's Andrea Trimble, the director of UVA's Office for Sustainability.
We've reduced our emissions by 19% as of 2017, so we think we will meet the goal ahead of schedule. So what we're doing now is working on what is our next goal.
The city of Charlottesville is also having good results. After setting a goal of a 10% reduction of the city's greenhouse gas by 2016, they actually reduced it by 23%. These results are made possible thanks to multiple initiatives and partnerships with local groups. For instance, since 2015, the city of Charlottesville has been working with Black Bear Composting, a local industrial composting company, to pick up organic waste. The company also offers its services in Stanton, Waynesboro, and since 2016, Harrisonburg, thanks to the Climate Action Alliance of the Valley, CAV for short. Joni Grady, former chair of the organization who now works with its Education and Events Committee, explains how it works.
People can bring their compostable waste, trash, garbage, whatever is compostable, take it to the farmer's market, and they have the place to drop it off.
Since 2016, when the project started, we've gathered 31 tons of compostable waste.
And that's Rosie Lynch from CAV's steering committee.
It is transported to Black Bear Composting in Cremora and processed there. But just in 2018 alone, it resulted in the equivalent of 5.3 metric tons of carbon dioxide avoidance.
One of their recent forums was inspired by Project Drawdown, a comprehensive plan proposed to reverse global warming and listing the most promising existing solutions for climate change. What they learned is that one of the biggest greenhouse gas producers are air conditioning systems.
The chemicals that go into your air conditioner are huge producers of greenhouse gases. There are international rules dealing with what kind of refrigerant you can use. The one we're using now helped with the ozone hole, but it turned out to be a greenhouse gas.
Susan Elliott from the city of Charlottesville confirms that 65% of the city's greenhouse gas emissions come from residential areas in the form of heating, cooling, and lighting.
Oh gosh, I'm going to say waste. Residential, weird!
Now the city of Charlottesville is setting a new greenhouse gas reduction target. They will release a first draft of their plan on May 6th at City Council, after which a public comment period will be open. Further south, another regional environmental program comes from a somewhat unusual place, a not-for-profit healthcare organization. Last month, the governor's office announced the 10 winners of the Environmental Excellence Award, and Carilion Clinic, based in Roanoke, was a winner thanks to its efficiency and sustainability program.
Out of this building here at Roanoke Memorial, we want to recycle 20% of all of the waste that we generate, and healthcare waste generates a lot of waste.
That's Sarah Wolford, the Efficiency and Sustainability Manager at Carilion Clinic.
We've been working hard over the last couple years to increase our capability to do that, and we've not quite reached that 20% goal yet. We're at about 16% right now, but you know, that means that we're recycling, you know, right around 800 to 900,000 pounds of material out of this building alone every year. So it's a significant amount, even though it's a small percentage.
It doesn't even really cost anything.
What we implement are process changes that really end up saving us money as opposed to costing us money, which is wonderful.
For WMRA News, I'm Marguerite Gallerini.
You can hear a longer version of this story at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.